me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. As I said, we're going on to bigger and better things. Amen. And that means that we're continuing our series called A New and Living Way. A New and Living Way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Praise God. Hallelujah. And so verse number 20, he says, we have boldness to enter the holiest, the very presence of God. How? He says, by a new and living way. A new and living way. In the Old Testament, only the priests could enter in to the place that they called the holiest. That was the Holy of Holies. That was the very presence of God. The presence of God was shut up in the temple in Jerusalem, and only the priests, and only once a year, could go into that holy, the holiest, or that presence of God. But now, every believer has free and full access into his presence. Hallelujah. That's the new and living way. Hallelujah. That's the new and living way. All the worship that they did under the old covenant, the Bible says in Ephesians that it brought them near to God, but it couldn't get them all the way to God. Amen. How many of you husbands just like to be near to your wife? Within 5 feet. That's not sufficient, is it?
No.
Amen. Well, that's not enough just to be near to God. That's all they could do in the old covenant was just get near, but they couldn't really experience his presence. They couldn't really have a full fellowship and relationship with him. Amen. But thank God we can now.
Amen.
Amen. In the new covenant, we can. We have access. It says we have boldness to enter the holiest. Every believer, we have boldness. We have boldness. In other words, we don't have to come crawling in. We don't have to say, I wonder if I'm going to die if I do this. I wonder if God's going to be mad at me. And we can have boldness to enter his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Boldness to enter his presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, and it's a new and living way. And this new and living way, there's three aspects to it. We've been talking about one. I want to say a little bit more about that, and then we'll go on to the next one. But there's three aspects. This new and living way is the way of the Spirit. Everybody say the way of the Spirit.
Way of the Spirit.
Amen. Is everybody paying attention?
Yes.
All right. Don't let your mind wander here in church now. Don't let the devil steal what God has for you. The Bible says, talks when Jesus told the parable of the sower, He says, the sower went out to sow, and some fell. The first one fell by the wayside, and said the birds came and ate, gobbled up the seed even before it had a chance to get into the ground. You know what that is? What those birds are there? That's the devil. And you know, sometimes he uses distraction. He uses our thoughts, thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, and we don't even hear what's being said. You know, that's a shame, isn't it? So don't let that happen to you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And so it's the way of the Spirit. Everybody say the way of the Spirit.
Way of the Spirit.
It's also the way of faith. Everybody say the way of faith.
Way of faith.
And the way of love. Everybody say the way of love.
Way of love.
Ephesians 2 and verse 18 says this. It says, for through him, through Jesus, we both have access. When he's talking about both there, he's talking about the Jews that had the law of God, that had the old covenant, that had the all of those things that pointed them to God, that brought them near, but still couldn't get them there, in there. And he's talking about the Gentiles, the previous verse talking about the Gentiles that were far away from God. He says, but now we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. Jew and Gentile, the way we get to God is through the Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, and we'll read that in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said, "But the hour is coming." She had asked him, she said, "You Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship, and our forefathers, the Samaritans, we worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim." Jesus said, the hour is coming when neither in Jerusalem nor on this mountain. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. It's not a physical location, lady, he was saying. It's not, in other words, he was saying the Jews and their worship, that wasn't, you know, they have been right up to that point, but God is changing the order of worship under the new covenant. And we can't go back and worship God the way they did under the old covenant.
Amen.
Amen. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we have access to God by the Spirit. The reason they couldn't do that under the old covenant is they were spiritually dead. Amen?
Amen?
Under the old covenant, they were spiritually dead, and they couldn't worship God in the Spirit because their spirits were not alive unto God. That's the whole purpose of the new birth. That's the whole purpose of salvation. When you accept Jesus, it's not just a ticket to heaven that gets punched. You get a new nature. You get the life of God on the inside of you. Yeah, that's what Jesus meant when he said, when he talked to Nicodemus about being born again. He said that's being born of the Spirit. Amen. And so our spirit becomes alive unto God. I was reading something this morning where Solomon was praying, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, would you please incline our hearts that we would keep your commandments?" That's the best they could do under the old covenant. God, you know, we know what your commandments are. Please lean our hearts in that direction. Well, that's the best that they could do, and that didn't work, did it? That didn't work. We see through their history that they went away from God. Why? They couldn't keep His commandments. They were spiritually dead. But under the new covenant, we have His nature on the inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we can worship Him and know Him spirit to spirit. The worship they did under the old covenant, that was the best they could do. It would kind of point them to what God was going to do and kind of point them in the right direction. But it was not spirit to spirit worship. Amen?
Amen?
Thank God we can worship God now in the Spirit. And so true worship is in spirit and in truth. The Bible says this in Philippians 3 and verse 3. It says, "For we are the circumcision." He's not just talking about the Jews there. He's talking spiritually. And he's saying, we that are in Christ, we that are born again, we are the circumcision who worship God how? Come on, stay with me. Who worship God how? In the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. They were not, he said, in the new covenant, we don't worship God in the flesh, we worship in the Spirit. Amen? Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to worship God in the Spirit? What are you talking about, Pastor David, when you say worship in the Spirit? What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 5, verse 17 gives us some instruction on that. Ephesians 5, so again, Ephesians is written to who? To New Covenant believers, people that have been born again and people that have been filled with the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, 17, he says, "Therefore, do not be unwise." Brother Carl talked about being about wisdom as knowing what God wants to do and doing that.
Right.
That's true wisdom. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." True wisdom is understanding the will of the Lord. And doing it. Amen. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." What's the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is not to be drunk with wine, for us to be drunk with wine, but the will of the Lord is for it. Now, don't just focus on that part. Now, that's important. You know, but sometimes we focus on the don'ts, and we don't get all the way over to the do's. The don't is don't be drunk with wine, but there's a do. Do be filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You know, being drunk with wine is the cheap imitation.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Being filled with the Spirit is the real thing. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now again, that word there where it says be filled is in the Greek is continuous. Where we read be filled in the Greek word, the Greek language, it's in the continuous tense. It means be continually filled with the Spirit. There's one initial baptism in the Holy Spirit that we should all experience, that subsequent to salvation. Yes. Amen. These Ephesian believers had experienced that. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, if you read, it says that Paul came to Ephesus and he found certain disciples and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said, then to what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. He said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to believe on him who would come after, that is on Christ Jesus. He says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, baptized in water. And, everybody say and. And when the Bible says, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. That was the Ephesians. That was the people in Ephesus. And so he's writing to them sometime later and he says, be filled with the Spirit. And they said, well, Paul, we've already been filled. And he says, no, be continually filled. Amen. You got filled when I laid hands on you back there in Acts 19. I'm sure he didn't say back there in Acts 19. He said, hey, guys, remember when we were walking around in Acts 19? I said, look at this. We're in Acts 19. There's verse 1. We're in verse 6 right here. But he said, there was one, I laid hands on you and you were filled. You experienced that. But be being filled. Be continually. Amen. Everybody say continually.
Continually.
Be continually filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak. What's the next word? Speaking. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Well, the speaking is the when the initial evidence of being of the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. But speaking is also the result of the continual filling. What kind of speaking? Speaking to yourselves. The New King James says one another, but let's go into verse 19 there. Speaking to one another, or the King James says speaking to yourselves. I believe that's actually more a better translation right here. Speaking to yourself, that means in your own personal prayer time. Yes.
Amen.
You do have one of those.
Yes.
We should, amen. Yes. Speaking to yourselves. Now that doesn't mean that, okay, you got 30 minutes right here. That can be any time throughout the day. Now, if you want to set aside time, I think you should. Set aside some time to spend with God every day, a set time. But then don't just say, okay, that's it, God. I gave you 30 minutes this morning. I'll see you tomorrow. No, be in continual fellowship with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is worshiping in spirit.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Amen. And so, when we quoted extensively the last two messages in this series from Brother Hagin's book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, and the reason I quoted from that, I'll just give a quick review. I'm not going to quote, I don't have the book today. I'm not going to quote from it today. But in 1987, on July 16th, 1987, a few days before their annual camp meeting, the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and began to speak to him about these things and about what true New Testament worship was. And just to summarize that visitation, in fact, someone asked him, they said, Brother Hagin, what did Jesus emphasize the most in this visitation? It lasted almost 3 hours. It wasn't all a vision where Jesus was talking to him. He said part of it was he was praying and getting revelation, but then and part of that, he and Jesus were standing above the auditorium where their camp meeting was to take place, and he knew it was the Monday night service, that upcoming Monday night that he was getting a preview of in the Spirit.
Amen.
And so he says, so somebody asked him, what did Jesus emphasize the most in this visitation? And he said, without question, what Jesus emphasized the most was this, and I'll just summarize it for you. And this is a direct quote out of the book. It is God's plan for every believer. So that means me.
Amen. Yes.
Does it? Amen. It is God's, this is what Jesus said to him, it is God's plan for every believer, every Christian living under the new covenant to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and to worship in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That's God's plan for every believer. Say, well, that must mean me. Amen. Does it mean you? So what is God's plan? And I like that. That fits right in with our VBS theme. I've got that little song, God's plan for you. Yeah. It's really going to be rolling through your head if you help with VBS, because you'll be hearing it every day. So, all right. But God's plan for every believer is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and to worship in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's seeking. And John, he said, he's seeking such to worship him. God is seeking out. Somebody said, I'm seeking God. Well, if you'll be a true worshiper, God will be seeking you.
Amen.
Whew. Guess what? He's better at finding you than you are at finding him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I said, God is better at finding you than you are at finding. So I said, well, I'm seeking the Lord. How's it going? Well, it's been kind of rough. Well, just start worshiping in the Spirit and you'll find that God starts seeking you out.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That's what we want, right?
Good. Yes.
Amen. And so the way of the Spirit, this new and living way, is the way of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, get filled. If you have been filled, stay continued. Don't be living on what happened a year ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago.
Amen.
Be continually filled.
Amen.
And worship in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And then the second aspect of this is the way of faith, this new and living way. It's the way of the Spirit, but it's also the way of faith. Back in Hebrews, in our opening text, in Hebrews 10:22, he says, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. So this way, this new and living way that we're to walk as new covenant believers, it's the way of the Spirit, but it's also the way of faith.
Amen.
It's the way of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you can't please God without faith, can you? Amen. But with faith, we can please him.
Amen.
Amen. If we respond to him in faith, that's what pleases him. Amen. He who comes to God must believe. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes people wonder, and you don't hear so much about it anymore, but people used to argue and debate, well, is faith the same as believing? Is it the same when he says faith, and when he says believe, is it the same thing? Yes, it's absolutely the same thing, because look at this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe. See, that faith and believe are used interchangeably, aren't they?
Yes.
Right? So faith and believing are the same thing. Amen. Anytime you read faith, it means believe. Anytime you read believe, it means faith.
Amen.
They're interchangeable. All right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, notice that, he who comes to God. Everybody say, he who comes to God. We come to God by faith. We approach God. The whole thing in Hebrews 10, he says, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, it's faith in that blood. It's faith in that blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We come to God by faith. I said we come to God by faith. We approach God by faith. Amen. Not by our feelings, but by faith. Amen. So too many times we get governed by our feelings. Well, I just don't feel God. I don't think God is with me. Why not? Because I don't feel Him. Well, you don't go by your feelings. You don't come to God by feelings. You come to God by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith. That he is who his word says he is. Faith that because of the blood of Jesus and because of his sacrifice on the cross, I've been made worthy to stand in his presence. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Three times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38, we're told this. It makes this statement. It says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. So we're to live by faith. This New Testament life, this life as a New Testament believer, it's a life of faith.
Amen.
We're to live by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's the way of the Spirit, but it's also the way of faith. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to live being led by the Spirit. We're to worship in the Spirit, and we're to live by faith. And they're interconnected. Amen. Look at this scripture, Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 38. Paul is preaching in a place, I believe this is Antioch in Pisidia. And there's two different Antiochs in the New Testament. This is one of them, where he was preaching. A couple years ago, I did a series of messages, all the sermons that were preached in the book of Acts. There's some wonderful ones. Remember that, Barbara? And this is one of the, this is a little excerpt from one of the messages that Paul was preaching that's recorded in the book of Acts. And again, they were there, and Paul says, ladies and gentlemen, here we are today in Acts chapter 13. I want to welcome you to Acts 13 this morning. So in Acts 13, 38, he says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, he's preaching in the synagogue there, he's preaching to Jews, and he's approaching them from that standpoint. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Talking about Jesus, of course. And by him, everybody say by him. Verse 39. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so, again, it says the scripture three times. Anytime it's the same statement is made three times in the New Testament, that's pretty important. Yes. Amen. So he says three times, as I mentioned earlier, the just shall live by faith. Three different times in the New Testament. Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. They all say it in a different variation. He's making a different point in each one. But he's quoting the same Old Testament scripture, which is Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And so here he's talking about that same concept. He says, by him, verse 39, everyone who believes is justified. Justified. Now, I was noticing, did any of you ever, on your computer, you ever work with Microsoft Word? Yes. Have you ever noticed up there you can decide how you want that page to look?
Yes.
How you want the sentences, if you're typing a document, how you want it to be lined up on the page. If you move the cursor over to that little where those little icons are that help you choose to do that, if you move the cursor over to the far right, if you mouse over it, it'll say justify.
Yes.
You ever notice that?
Right.
You know what it means? You know what justify means? It means everything's lined up just straight.
Yes.
There's no indentions here or there, or there's no nothing hanging up. I mean, they spread it out to where everything's lined up perfect. It's just perfect. It's just square. All right? And so that's what, if you choose justify, that's how your document's going to come out looking. Well, the Bible says we're justified. That means that we're lined up with God. We're lined up with God. Amen. And notice, how do we get lined up with God? He says, by him, everyone who believes. Everybody say who believes.
Believe.
Everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. They couldn't be justified by keeping the law of Moses because they couldn't keep it.
Right.
But he says, God's got a new and living way. And it's the way of faith. And if you will believe, you'll be justified. If you'll believe, I like this definition. I've shared it with you many times, but justified, a very simple one. Maybe that's why that guy called me a simpleton in the email. I'll claim guilty to that. But justified means justified, never sinned. When I believe in the blood of Jesus, when I believe what Jesus did for me, I'm justified. It's justified, never sinned. Praise God. But now here's something that you need to know as well, because and again, as I said earlier, sometimes ignorance is bliss, and you may not be aware of this that's going on in the church world. But there are folks that are saying today, well, Jesus did it all, and we don't have to do anything, not even believe. And the logical progression of that is, well, eventually everybody's going to be saved. Well, I wish that was the case, but it's not the case. Only those who believe. You have to believe. Can you see how insidious? Now, it sounds good, but it's actually very insidious and very destructive and counterproductive. Because if I adopt the attitude and the idea, well, everybody's going to be saved anyway. Heck, why have VBS? What's our purpose in VBS? Get kids saved. Man, let's just go to the lake and hang out for that week. Let's don't have VBS. It's too much work. If everybody's going to be saved, let's not take up that missions offering and send the Odells to Pakistan to do a crusade. If everybody's going to be saved anyway. You see how counterproductive that can be? But look at this. No, it makes it very clear right here. Verse 39, and by him everyone who believes. Everybody say who believes.
Who believes.
See, if believing was not important, it would have just said, and by him everyone is justified. But it says everyone who believes. Who's justified? Everyone who believes. Now, it's available to everybody, but the individual has to believe. Amen. Let's look at one more. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. It's talking about Jesus. He came to the world. The world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came in disguise, didn't he? The creator of this earth came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born in Bethlehem, born as a baby, and the world didn't recognize him that way. He grew up, though. He came to his own, that's the Jews, and his own did not receive him. But as many as what? Received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Here's another thing that's well, we're all the children of God. No, we're not. I said, no, we're not. Now, we all have the potential to be. Amen. Because of what Jesus did, God didn't have to send Jesus, but because of his mercy and his goodness, he did. Amen. But no, we're not all the children of God automatically. We're all the creation of God, but we're not all the children of God. Why? Because it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. If you don't receive him, you're not a child of God. You're only a child of God when you receive him. A gift has to be received.
Amen.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
I said a gift, in order for it to be enjoyed and have an effect, it has to be received.
Amen.
God gave Jesus, but we have to receive Jesus.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, I can offer someone a gift, but if they turn and run the other way, they're not going to benefit from that gift, are they?
Amen.
Amen. It's available. I'm making it available. I'm saying, you don't have to pay anything for this. I want to give this to you. But if they say, I don't want that, there's no exchange there, is there? Amen. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Well, how do we receive him? How is that receiving done? To those who what?
Believe.
To those who believe in his name. So I receive him by believing. I receive him by exercising faith. And not only do I receive him by faith, but I receive everything he has provided by faith, by believing. Amen? Hallelujah. And not only are we justified by faith, but it's through faith that we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive miracles. We receive healing. Everything that Jesus has provided, we receive it through faith. This way, this new and living way, is a way of faith. Amen. Look at Galatians 3, verse 5. We're wrapping it up here. Galatians 3, verse 5, he says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Glory to God. You know, God wants to do that. He wants to supply the Spirit to us. He wants to work miracles. He was doing that in the churches of Galatia. Galatia was a region. It wasn't just one city. And there were several churches, Lystra and Derbe and other cities there, the region of Galatia. And so he was writing to all these churches and he says, God who supplies the Spirit to you and the God who works miracles among you, he's asking them a question. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Because they'd been taught they needed to go back and keep the ceremonial law. He said, no, you need to walk by faith. This is a new and living way. And it's the way of faith. It's the way of faith. You need to believe God's word. You need to believe the message. Does he work miracles among you? Does he supply the Spirit to you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By you hearing the word of God and exercising faith in it. Amen. And that's the answer, isn't it? Amen. So this Christian life, also this Christian life, this Christian walk, it's a walk of faith. Everybody say a walk of faith.
Walk of faith.
2 Corinthians 5:7 says that. It says, look at this, for we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's so important that we get a hold of that concept. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Walking by sight could also mean walking by our feelings. Amen. How do we walk? We walk by what God's Word says. We walk by what the promise of God is. We don't walk by what popular culture says is the flavor of the day. We walk by what the Word of God says. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Hallelujah. And along with that, a few verses earlier in the previous chapter, Paul made this statement. I want us to look at it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So as he was talking to them there, he said, folks, let's step back over. I'm going to open the door to this previous chapter, and let's step back over into it. And so 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So he's telling us that we're to look at what's not seen. Now that sounds like an oxymoron there. That sounds like, well, how do you look at something that's not seen? Well, you have to look at it with eyes of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have eyes of faith. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now again, it's not just, we don't just deny. It's not just I'm not sick, I'm not sick, or I deny. No, I'm not going broke, I'm not going bankrupt. It's not a denial. There's something real and eternal. Even though it's unseen to the physical eye, it's real. Don't confuse unseen with imaginary.
Right.
Amen.
Because the Word of God, the promises of God, and the things of the Spirit of God are not imaginary. They're real.
Amen.
They're unseen. They're in the unseen realm, but they're very real.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. That means they're subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God's Word never changes. God's Word never fails. Amen?
Amen.
So I can believe the Word of God. I can have a situation, a circumstance going on in my life, and what it looks like in the seen realm is not in agreement with what I know God's Word has promised me. Well, what am I going to do? I can either side in with what it looks like and what it sees, you know, what I see and embrace that. And have that, or I can say, you know, I'm not going to settle for that as the final outcome. I choose to believe God.
Amen.
I choose to believe God's promise. I choose to believe God's word.
Amen.
Because those things that I see are temporary. They're subject to change. They can change.
Amen.
But if I hold on to the word of God, that is unchanging.
Yes.
That is eternal. So, well, it might not work in 2015. Oh, yes, it will.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's unchanging.
Amen.
It's eternal. Amen. Glory to God. So don't be moved by what you see in your family. Don't be moved by what you may see in your body or your finances or our society that's contrary to the Word of God. Don't be moved by any of that. Now, when I say don't be moved, I'm talking about don't be moved with fear. Don't be moved to worry. Don't be moved to get in despair over those things. But be moved to trust God. Be moved to confess His promise in the midst of contradictory circumstances. Amen?
Amen?
Be moved that direction. That's faith. That's faith. That's what pleases God. And that's what causes us. It's a response of faith that causes us to access the resources of heaven.
Hallelujah.
And do you know heaven has resources?
Yes.
I said heaven has resources. One fella had an experience where he had a vision of heaven, and he toured heaven. And he was shown warehouses. Vast, vast warehouses in heaven. And he went in those warehouses. And he saw all kinds of things. Anything you could imagine. He saw spare body parts. I mean, it seems gross, but it was in the vision. It was not gross the way it was, all very neat. And he saw many other things. And he asked, an angel was giving him a tour of heaven. He says, "What is this?" He says, "These are unclaimed blessings.
Whoa.
These are unclaimed blessings. These are the resources that we have available. If people would only believe. If people would only believe and access them." It's through faith that we access the provision of heaven on our behalf, the resources of heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. This new and living way, it's a way of the Spirit, and it's a way of faith. A way of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you.